On August 5th, China announced a coordinated package of countermeasures in response to recent U.S. restrictions on Chinese technology companies and supply chains. The measures place 7 U.S. entities on countermeasures lists, subject-controlled drones and related items destined for the U.S. to stricter licensing review, suspend the use of U.S.-based certification bodies for certain factory inspections, and open a national security investigation into imported office equipment using foreign software. Unlike China's July 24th retaliation against European companies, which relied principally on entity-specific dual-use export restrictions, the latest response spans several agencies and legal authorities. The package signals a broader change in how Beijing applies economic pressure. China is increasingly targeting the compliance infrastructure through which U.S. restrictions operate. Yet the measures remain targeted and potentially reversible, allowing Beijing to impose costs without resorting to country or sector-wide cutoffs. Targeting the infrastructure behind U.S. restrictions. Under China's Anti-Foreign Sanctions Law, AFSL, the Ministry of Commerce, MOFCOM, prohibited organizations and individuals within China from engaging in relevant transactions, cooperation, or other activities with 7 U.S. entities. One company was listed for allegedly supporting the Federal Communications Commission's FCC decision to block the import of new foreign-produced humanoid and quadruped robots, which affects Chinese companies. 6 companies were listed for allegedly supporting recent U.S. sanctions related to forced labor in Xinjiang. MOFCOM acted days after the Department of Homeland Security added 43 Chinese entities to the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act entity list, UFLPA. U.S. importers must trace supply chains to rebut the law's presumption that goods produced wholly or in part by listed entities are inadmissible to be sold in the U.S. The countermeasures signal Beijing's willingness to retaliate against entities that help make foreign restrictions enforceable, even if the immediate effect varies with each entity's exposure to China. China also tightened but did not prohibit exports to the U.S. of drones, key components, and related technology already included on China's dual-use control list. Effective immediately, MOFCOM will review license applications strictly on a case-by-case basis and will not apply licensing facilitation measures. Further, China's certification regulator suspended Chinese bodies designated under the China Compulsory Certification System from commissioning U.S.-based certification bodies to conduct post-certification factory follow-up inspections. And the most novel measure may be MOFCOM's first-of-its-kind foreign trade national security investigation, looking into imported office equipment with printing or copying functions containing system software developed, tested, or maintained by foreign persons. Calibrated pressure, broader precedent. Together, the measures closely resemble the structure of the U.S. actions that China is responding to. Washington has used an array of trade barriers and national security determinations to narrow Chinese access to the U.S. market. Beijing is increasingly responding through its expanded legal and regulatory systems, which have allowed it to better target countermeasures. The systems are not completely equivalent, but technical regulatory processes are becoming instruments of geopolitical competition. MOFCOM characterized the response as restrained, said China wished to preserve the hard-won stability in bilateral economic relations, and warned that new U.S. restrictions would bring further countermeasures. The package may be more important for the model it establishes than for the immediate disruption any one measure produces. If Beijing repeats this approach, private compliance providers and the technical systems that determine whether products and supply chains can enter a market will move closer to the front line of U.S.-China economic competition. The timing also places the measures in the run-up to Xi's planned September 24th visit to Washington, where President Trump has said the leaders will discuss artificial intelligence and are expected to review the trade and investment framework established at their May summit in Beijing. Rather than abandoning the strategic stability endorsed at that meeting, Beijing appears to be defining its limits, with high-level engagement allowed to continue, but new U.S. technology and forced labor restrictions still drawing a response. The measures may therefore serve both as retaliation and as bargaining leverage, giving China several targeted tools that could be altered as negotiations develop. U.S. developments. Senate passes. Lindsey O. Graham, Sanctioning Russia and Iran Act of 2026. On August 7th, the U.S. Senate passed the Lindsey O. Graham Sanctioning Russia and Iran Act of 2026 by a bipartisan vote of 86 to 11. The bill, previously known as the Sanctioning Russia Act of 2026, now moves to the House of Representatives, which is in recess until September. Originally introduced in April 2025, the legislation gained momentum after President Donald Trump signaled support last November, subject to him gaining new tariff authorities and retaining flexibility over the imposition of sanctions. We covered several of the most notable revisions included in the July 16, 2026 version of the bill in a prior update. The version passed by the Senate grants the president waiver authority in relation to the Russia-related sanctions and authorizes the president to impose tariffs of up to 100% on the largest purchasers of Russian oil and natural gas, as well as countries facilitating Russian oil sanctions evasion. In addition to the inclusion of these key administration priorities, lawmakers amended the bill to extend the Iran Sanctions Act of 1996 through 2031 after President Trump's July 30th call for Congress to add Iran-related tariffs to the legislation. Although the bill passed the Senate with broad bipartisan support, some lawmakers have expressed concerns about its expanded tariff authorities. We previously reported that Senator Ron Wyden, DOR, and Representative Richard Neal, DMA, opposed the measure, arguing that it grants the president excessive unilateral tariff authority. A subsequent amendment offered by Senators Rand Paul, RKY, and Wyden to remove the tariff provision failed by a vote of 64 to 32. The bill now heads to the House, where it faces uncertain prospects for passage, with concern driven by the new sanctions waiver authority and tariff authorities. U.S. imposes sanctions on Iran-linked financial networks, exchange houses, and crypto exchanges. On August 7, 2026, the Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, sanctioned 7 entities and 5 individuals for allegedly enabling Iran's Rabar banking system to move hundreds of millions of dollars. Among the designations are 2 UAE-based exchange houses allegedly involved in supporting Sharbank's role in helping the Iranian regime retrieve revenue from overseas oil sales. The Treasury Department said multiple shell and front companies work with and enable other actors throughout Iran's shadow banking apparatus, including entities based in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Dubai. In a separate action on the same day, OFAC sanctioned a multinational cryptocurrency exchange network and related entities for allegedly facilitating illicit financial activity and supporting Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC. OFAC also designated a digital asset exchange pursuant to EO 13902 for operating in Iran's financial sector. These actions were taken pursuant to Executive Order EO 13902, which targets persons operating in Iran's financial and petroleum sectors, and EO 13224, which targets persons who commit or support terrorism. U.S. issues Cuba-related designations and FAQ. On August 6th, the State Department designated 5 Cuba-related entities and 6 individuals allegedly related to Cuba's armed forces and military-industrial sector. The action was taken pursuant to EO 14404, which authorizes the imposition of sanctions on individuals and entities connected to Cuba's government. According to the State Department, the entities and individuals facilitated the Cuban government's foreign military cooperation and the procurement of military equipment, including for Cuba's Ministry of the Revolutionary Armed Forces and Security Services. Alongside the designations, OFAC issued Frequently Asked Question, FAQ, 1264, which states that it does not intend to target non-U.S. persons under EO 14404 when providing food, agricultural commodities, medicine, or medical devices and related parts or software updates to Cuba for humanitarian purposes. This policy applies even when transactions involve EO 14404 designated persons or entities in which such designated persons own, directly or indirectly, individually or in the aggregate, a 50% or greater interest. OFAC extends the delay of PDVSA bond-related authorizations. On August 3rd, OFAC issued Venezuela-related general license, GL-5Y, which authorizes certain transactions related to the provision of financing for and other dealings in the Petróleos de Venezuela SA 2028.5% bond that are otherwise prohibited by EO 13835, as amended on or after September 17, 2026. GL5Y is the most recent extension in a long-running delay in the effective date of GL5's authorization. Unlike the recent 60-day extensions of GL5, GL5Y only extends the delay of the authorization by approximately 6 weeks, which suggests that OFAC may be prepared to allow the authorization to come into effect in the near future. UK developments. UK announces. Further Russia, sanctions targeting banks, shadow fleet, and military supply chains. The UK government has announced a further package of sanctions under the Russia Sanctions EU Exit Regulations 2019, designating one individual, 12 entities, and 6 vessels in a continued effort to disrupt Russia's war economy. According to a UK government press release, the measures target 6 Russian banks, 6 recently acquired Shadow Fleet tankers used to circumvent Western sanctions, and 4 Russian companies involved in importing tantalum and niobium, rare metals critical to Russia's military-industrial base. The designations also seek to disrupt the financial institutions and procurement networks that enable Russia to sustain military production and generate revenue despite existing sanctions. The latest package forms part of the UK's continuing strategy to increase economic pressure on the Kremlin by targeting key sectors underpinning Russia's war effort, including finance, maritime transport, and military supply chains. It also reflects the UK's continued focus on countering sanctions evasion, particularly through the Shadow Fleet and the acquisition of critical materials used in the manufacture of military equipment. OFSI expands Russian oil, exempt project's general license. OFSI has amended General License INT/2-025/5-6357-00 Russian Oil Exempt Projects to include the Kurdistan Export Pipeline as an exempt project until October 14, 2027, the GL. The GL permits specified business operations involving subsidiaries of certain UK-designated Russian energy companies, where they relate to strategically important international energy projects, including the making and receipt of payments and other activities necessary to support those projects, subject to the license's conditions. The Kurdistan Export Pipeline now joins a number of existing exempt projects covered by the GL, reflecting the UK's continued approach of safeguarding critical international energy infrastructure, while maintaining broader sanctions against Russia's energy sector. Businesses intending to rely on the GL should review the amended version to ensure compliance with its updated permissions and conditions. EU developments. EU Council updates. Russia asset freeze sanctions listing. The EU Council recently designated 5 individuals under the Russia asset freeze regime for materially supporting Russia's military and industrial complex. The newly listed individuals hold senior positions in Russian companies involved in the development, production, or supply of military technology and equipment, including ballistic missile systems, military communication systems, software for unmanned aerial vehicles, and space-related military technologies. Among those listed are Ramil Nailovich Badgutinov, General Director of JSC Serpukhov Plant, Metalist, whose company is involved in the manufacture of navigation systems for the Iskander-M ballistic missile, and Alexander Yurevich Dukarev, General Director of JSC Krasnoyarsk Machine Building Plant, which produces the RS-28 Sarmat ballistic missile. The designations follow the EU Council's call in its June conclusions to step up pressure on Russia through further sanctions in response to Russia's continued war of aggression against Ukraine and its intensified attacks against civilians and civilian infrastructure. As a result of their designation, the individuals are subject to asset freezes, a prohibition on making funds or economic resources available, and an EU travel ban. Asia-Pacific developments. Australian sanctions reportedly fail to curb Israeli settler funding. On August 7, 2026, Independent Australia reported that Israeli government support for the settler movement had increased despite 3 rounds of Australian sanctions since July 2024, targeting Hilltop Youth, associated individuals, outposts, and other entities, including Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich and National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir. Several media outlets reported that Israel allocated about $41 million Australian for young settlers in West Bank outposts, including stipends and other assistance, and that Ben-Gvir's ministry granted an estimated $1.3 million to Havat Gilad, a sanctioned settler organization. Although Hilltop Youth's decentralized structure complicates enforcement, direct government funding for a named sanctioned entity raises questions about the effectiveness of existing measures.